Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text before us is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 17. I'm just going to jump right into it here. Many people are disappointed when they visit places like San Francisco or Seattle for just a few days, because they're hoping to be able to see a glorious vision in Seattle of Mount Rainier off in the distance, or they're hoping to be able to see that beautiful Golden Gate Bridge stretched across that sparkling bay with its girders and supports and all of that. And then they get there and the fog is rolled in and they can't see any of it. In case you're wondering what I'm talking about, take a look. Seattle on a foggy day. If you were there on a clear day, you'd be able to see Rainier just jutting straight up. Absolutely beautiful. Or how about this? How disappointing. I know when I drove over the Golden Gate Bridge with the boys a few years back, it was all fogged in on the way over one direction up towards Sausalito. And as we drove through, you could, as you got close, it was tough because, of course, you had to keep your eyes on the road and then take a picture of the girder as you went underneath. Not that that happened. But take a look at the girders from underneath as you're going through the fog. The beautiful thing was, at least on the way back, it was clear, and we got to get a nice picture with it on the backside. But what a beautiful thing to behold, but it's so disappointing when it's not there and when it's covered up. Now, as Peter, James, and John made their way up that mountain with Jesus, I don't know if it was fogged in or not, I doubt it, considering the climate, but I will say this, that they really probably only thought they were going to go up on that mountain to just sort of hang out for a little bit. I mean, typically when Jesus took Peter, James, and John together with him, something significant would happen, but you know, they never really quite knew what. Maybe they thought they were going to go up there and just sort of behold the beautiful vision that laid out there before them. But clearly they did not know that they were about to catch a glimpse of glory. A glimpse of glory that would travel through the mists of time and eternity. And you know what? We're here for the very same thing today. As we turn to these words from Matthew, we are here for our very own glimpse of glory. And as we consider that today, please, and anticipate that today, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, it was about 1,500 years ago that one of the last emperors of Rome built a tomb for his beloved sister. I don't know if you can, up there in the corner, there you can kind of get the scope. It's not very big. It's not very tall. In fact, from the outside, it isn't even very impressive. It's in the shape of a Greek cross. The bricks that are used there are old bricks that had been lying around, so it doesn't look just rough from age. It actually looks rough from even older age, originally attached to a church. Now, just this mausoleum itself is there. And the woman may not even be buried in it. So it was built as a mausoleum, but didn't end up really being one. The exterior is not much to look at, but the interior is something else entirely. There are, as you can see, just tiny, those are actually windows. They look like they might be covered in stone, but it's actually a luminous marble, a thin sheet of stone where the light kind of filters through, but not a whole lot of it. Inside are these barrel vaults that are over the ceiling, kind of a dome there, cupola in the center. And the whole focal point of it is a focus on victory over death. This is a Christian mausoleum. And there are beautiful pictures within it, including Jesus as the Good Shepherd lovingly reaching out to his sheep. This mausoleum of Galla Placidia, as it's known, still stands in Ravenna today, as you can see. But it's been called the earliest and best preserved of all mosaic monuments and one of the most artistically perfect. Sounds great, doesn't it? Don't you want to see inside? Probably. The anticipation, this is on purpose. But I'll tell you, visitors who have admired pictures of the interior of this mausoleum are somewhat disappointed because when you walk in, they realize that it's incredibly hard to see. I don't know if you can even make that out, but it's dark on the inside. You can kind of see there's probably something really beautiful up there. But it's shrouded in darkness. This most artistically perfect monument, this inspiring vision, is veiled in darkness. Doesn't life sometimes kind of feel like that? You can see there is something beautiful on that ceiling, and you just long to see it. That life, you just know there is something beautiful there, and you long to see it. If you can just get the right light, if you can just get the right angle on it, you'll be able to see it and experience it. This thing that you are longing for, their hearts, they're designed to long for goodness and beauty and justice and peace and forgiveness. But they're so often hidden from our sight, huh? Hidden by the mists of evil and sin and judgment. And we can't see what we so long to see. Firsthand, what others have known, we long to just catch a glimpse of glory. Wouldn't that be great if God would just like peel back the curtain and let us catch a glimpse? Wouldn't that set you up for a long time just to see that glimpse of glory like the disciples did on that craggy mountain? Moses and Elijah showing up. Moses, who got to see the Lord's glory firsthand. Elijah, whom, as you remember, was whisked up to heaven in that whirlwind of fire. That glory of the Lord. One of my favorite pictures of that is when it's a picture of Elijah coming straight at you. And he's throwing off his cloak back to Elisha, who's standing on the ground. And you can just see this joy on his face as he anticipates the glory that awaits. I mean, even Peter, James, and John, who were off in what you might call the tiresome threesome, because they're either falling asleep or they're not quick to catch up, even they became the blithesome threesome as they were awed by what they saw there on the mountain. And we long to see it too, that awesome, frightening, unsafe for sinful human eyes vision of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, has instilled this in us. Through faith, we know that there is something better, something greater, something that we long to see and to be there with. Because we know by the Spirit that nothing will make us permanently and eternally happy like joining our Savior in the glorious realms of heaven for eternity. And this is why Jesus has come. This is why he came to earth, to fulfill that longing, that need that was created when sin separated us from our Heavenly Father. Jesus coming as that Messiah to be that light shining in the darkness, to bring the glorious, righteous glow to those of us who are languishing in the shadows of sin and death. And to you and to me and to souls of the ages, we know that this Messiah has come. Standing there on the mountain with Moses and Elijah at his side, standing before the cowering disciples, and yet also here among us, this Jesus who in very body and blood is here among us. Jesus, who through his word is in front of us each and every day. It is this Jesus who comes to bring us from this time of grace to the glory that awaits us in heaven. John the Baptizer identified him. He said, called him Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Anointed One, the Holy One, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power at his baptism. Andrew told the same Peter who was there on the mountain, who would later climb that mountain, he said, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Peter himself agreed, calling himself in our lesson for today an eyewitness of this Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father also made it perfectly clear, didn't he? Both at Jesus' baptism and on that Mount of Transfiguration when he said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so this Jesus, transfigured in glory, is identified as the light of the world, the Savior of nations, the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, the Christ, the Son of God. This same Jesus would descend that Mount of Transfiguration and set his face towards Jerusalem and ascend the Mount of Suffering, that mount called Calvary. And there he would take with him yours and mine and the sins of everyone in the world with him. And there he would leave those sins, paying for them with his very life, because he would not leave that mountain alive, dying the death that you and I deserved, and then gloriously rising from the dead to guarantee for you and me that triumphant resurrection from the grave, not just to catch a glimpse of glory, but to fully and permanently experience God's glory of eternal life, and all of it freely given in the one the Father loves. This is what awaits us. No matter how dark the day, no matter how confusing life, no matter what questions we may have now, we know what is to come. Sure and certain. And we have seen it right here in this Jesus, even though our vision is still obscured by the mists of sin and death. Going back to that tomb of Galla Placidia for a moment, it is not exactly a pleasant place to enter. Ravenna, Italy can be somewhat warm and humid. You walk into the tomb and there's that mix, that rank smell of age and decay, mixed with the scents of the heavily perfumed and the overly sweaty tourists. And you walk in, and quite frankly, a lot of people look in and they see the dark and they can't see anything and they smell what it's like to be in there and they just turn around and leave. Forget it. It's not worth it. But to the people who are patient, the people who are willing to wait it out, eventually what amounts to about a quarter in U.S. dollars and cents gets dropped into a machine, and there is heard a gentle click. And the lights come on. Now, this picture obviously cannot do it justice, but you begin to appreciate the beauty that is there, the blues and the golds. This is mosaic. These are tiny little pieces of glass that are plastered onto the walls and ceilings to create these beautiful pictures. Suddenly, this dull, hot darkness becomes a starry sky amidst an indigo blue, shimmering stars startlingly close, and there is a collective ah from the people who have waited it out to see what is there. But then, after only a few seconds, and the light goes out. Now, obviously, this is a marketing scheme. You know, I mean, it's a revenue-generating scheme, because obviously everybody wants to see it again, right? Do it again, do it again. Mom, Dad, you got a quarter, put it in, because I want to see it again. And click, the lights come back on for, oops, sorry, they didn't. I put in the wrong lira. There we go. The lights come back on, and you can see it again, and you see in those beautiful pictures, pictures of the gospel, deer drinking from springs, like from Psalm 42, garlands of fruit and leaves, like John chapter 15, Jesus, as I said, gently reaching out and touching his sheep from John chapter 10. After witnessing it, one visitor wrote, "I have never seen anything so sublime in all my life." Peter wrote of the importance of such glorious proclamations of the gospel for us who long for glimpses of glory. He wrote, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Because you see, whenever the word of the Lord is proclaimed, it's like a bright burst of light in our sin-darkened world. In those brief moments, the shadows recede and we're given a glimpse of the glory that awaits, of a world beyond our darkness, a sublime vision that reorders our perception of reality and leaves us hungering for more. But here's the thing. In order to catch that glimpse of glory, you need to be looking for it. I mean, you can go to Wikipedia and find all kinds of pictures. You can get the Golden Gate Bridge on a clear day and see a picture of it. And you can get a vision of the skyline of reality of Seattle with Mount Rainier off there in the distance, bright and beautiful and glorious. You can go, or you can see pictures of Ravenna, but what about going there? What about seeing it firsthand? What about experiencing that vision, that sight? It's a bit different, isn't it? It's a lot better. Seeing it firsthand. See the resultant darkness of apathy to the Word? Guess what? If you don't want to be in the Word, you're not going to see the glimpses of glory. You can long for it all you want, but if you're not in the Word, if you're not worshiping, if you're not connecting with the Lord through His means of grace, those glimpses of glory are not there. You will find them nowhere else but in the message of the gospel in Word and Sacrament. But that's the good news, isn't it? Because it's here, and it's in your homes and in your hands, and it is available like nothing else. Those glimpses of glory. We know if we ignore the word, well, Jesus described it, it's like everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The whole world's just going to fall apart, isn't it? But if you look to the Lord, if you look to His Word, if you look for those glimpses of glory and they are there, there is promise. James wrote, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." I suppose that in the case of the disciples, they could have just caught that glimpse of glory and then just went on with their lives. "Yeah, that was a pretty cool day, wasn't it, Jesus? I really liked that." And they just gone on and done their thing. But when they saw that glimpse of glory, they wanted more. I mean, you look at Peter's reaction to the whole thing, and I know that Peter's talking about almost turning it into some sort of carnival freak show where he's got tents set up for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. But Mark describes Peter, he just didn't even know what he was saying. He just, in Peter fashion, just needed to say something. But understand where it came from. It came from a heart that didn't want it to end. He didn't want the glory to stop. He didn't want the lights to go out. He wanted it again and again. But here's the good news as the word of the Lord comes to us. He says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy." This Jesus is our glorious hope, our glorious joy, our glorious crown, in whom we will glory now and in the eternity to come, when He comes again to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you have believed. Do you catch what it is there? As much as we long for Jesus' glory, we're His glory. That's astounding. We may long to be in Jesus' glory, see Jesus' glory, but guess what? When He comes, He's taking glory in us. That's the relationship that we have with our Savior Jesus. And this is to the praise of God's glorious grace. You have glimpsed his glory. You have seen it, and you will see it again and again, Lord willing, throughout your time of grace here on earth, knowing that when it comes to fruition, this Jesus, this Word made flesh, this Word transfigured, this Word proclaimed, is to the edifying of you, Christ's holy people. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It's the glory of the Lord, and it is ours through Jesus. This is your glimpse today and every day. Not a mausoleum in Ravenna, not a golden bridge, not a city skyline, but the glory of the Lord, in whom the Father is well pleased, Jesus Christ. So catch your glimpses of glory each and every time you delve into God's Word, and know that through this Jesus, you too will one day enter into the eternal glory of the Lord. God grant it. Amen.